This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the topic actually is dunya under an honest lens. This topic here, although it is a somewhat straightforward and seemingly unsophisticated topic, and that's certainly how it was with the eldest and earliest of generations. But what I have come to realize myself is that many times when this topic of dunya is addressed, there is a lot of confusion. Because you see, we have a hadith and ayat which speak in praise or aren't so critical of dunya. And we have a hadith and ayat which condemn and criticize and belittle dunya. And when we say dunya, we mean the worldly affairs. So as a result, many times people, they leave these lectures confused. And depending on which mindset or which focus was really zoomed in upon by the speaker, you have two different mindsets. You have either a group, an extreme perhaps, who don't want to do anything to do with dunya. They want to divorce from it totally. Perhaps their businesses they may sell, even if it's in the halal. Perhaps their education, they may leave their education under the banner that they are minimalist, zuhad, and under the pretext that they want to do something full-time Islamic, maybe study Sharia, or any other aspect. This is a group. And then we have another group who are so confused, and what they say is that I'm engaged in dunya, and my imara, my establishment of dunya, this is ibadah, this is worship. And you say, akhi, where's your salah? Akhi, you're dealing with interest. My sister, where's your hijab? Brother, what's going on? Where's the Quran? He says, akhi, the sheikh said, we got to establish the earth. And he said that working the earth, it is ibadah. So I am in a state of ibadah anyway. And then we have a third group who are genuinely confused. And they're like, I just don't know what to do. Am I supposed to divorce my wife, get rid of my husband? Education, is it bad? I mean, I don't want to upset Allah Ta'ala by dealing with this cursed dunya. But at the same time, I need to use it. I need to work. There are certain things which I require. Today, we want to focus on this aspect and perhaps come to a reconciliation between these narrations which outwardly curse the dunya and the ones which aren't so critical. So that we come up with this holistic and comprehensive understanding and put at ease this internal conflict which many of us are victim to when it comes to the sensitive topic of dunya. But first we can say with confidence, yes, there are ayat and there are hadith which are very critical of dunya and belittle dunya and deem it pathetic in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the creator of dunya, without a doubt. And Allah Ta'ala sometimes in addressing this aspect, sometimes He uses the oceans as an analogy. Sometimes He uses food as an analogy. Sometimes He uses the sea as an analogy. Sometimes what He has given those who do not believe in Allah Ta'ala from the blessings of dunya as an analogy. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala uses rain as an analogy. Come with me with this last one for a moment. Allah Ta'ala says in some profound and beautiful and eloquent verses, He says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Give them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put forward the example of dunya. It is like rain. It is like rain. Ikhwan, wallahi, please focus on this example. My sisters, focus on this example, because now you have Allah Ta'ala, the creator of dunya, commentating on dunya. Because how many people, Ikhwan, do you and I know who live on dunya, die on dunya, breathe on dunya, wake up for dunya, sleep on dunya? Their talents, abilities, skills, profession is invested in nothing but dunya. How many people do you know like this? They wake up in the morning, drink their coffee, put on their clothes, watch the news, go to work, check their email, come home, watch the program, go to sleep. Wake up the next morning, have their coffee, watch the news, and so on and so on. How many people do you know like this? Most. But yeah, ikhwan, what we want to say today is that this type of people, many of them, they may not enter the masjid maybe only once a week for Jumu'ah. Some of them, perhaps, they may only enter the masjid maybe once a year for Eid or Ramadan. And wallahi, ya ikhwan and akhawat, I wouldn't be exaggerating to say that there is a group who wallahi do not enter the masjid only once in a lifetime, but not to pray, to be prayed upon. Before we continue with this ayah and this analogy, I want to give you just one quick narration. This is what is referred to by the ulama as the Isra'iliyat. One of the narrations from the books of the Christians or Jews. And our manhaj, our methodology with such narrations is that so long as they do not contradict the Quran and the authentic sunnah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, then there is no haraj, there is no problem in relating it for the sake of istinas. This narration, it mentions that Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, was approached by a Jewish man and he said to him, I want to accompany you on your travels. He said to him, come with me. As they traveled, Jesus alayhi salam, he had with him 3 loaves of bread. Suddenly they became 2. So he says to the man, أين الرغيف الثالث? Where is the 3rd loaf of bread? He says to him, Wallahi ma kana illa thnain. He says, I swear by Allah, there were only ever 2 loaves of bread. He didn't come in. And they continued walking until they reached a blind man. Isa alayhi salam, he places his hand on the face of this blind man and asks Allah Ta'ala to restore him his vision, and his vision comes back. The Jewish man, he says, Subhanallah, shocked. Jesus alayhi salam, he says, As'aluka bihaqqi man radda basarahu ilayhi wa afah. Ayna al-raghif al-thalith? I ask you, in the name of the one who restored him his vision, where is the 3rd loaf of bread? He said, there were only 2 loaves of bread. No use. They continued walking until they reached a river. And he said to him, كَيْفَ الْعُبُورِ? How are we going to cross this river? Isa alayhi salam said to him, قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَاتَّبِعْنِي. Say in the name of Allah, Bismillah, and just follow me. And la ilaha illallah, by the permission of Allah Ta'ala, they are walking on the surface of the water. Until they got to the other side, and this man, he said, Subhanallah, we just walked on water, Subhanallah. He says, As'aluka bihaqqi man sayyarana ala al-ma, ayna al-raghif al-thalith? I ask you in the name of the one who gave us permission to walk on the sea, where is the 3rd loaf of bread? He said, no, there were only 2 loaves of bread. La ilaha illallah. Here, Isa alayhi salam, he makes 3 piles of soil. And then he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convert them into gold. And this man is like, wow, mashallah, who do these 3 piles of gold belong to? He said, well, the first belongs to me. The second belongs to you. And he said, the third? He said, the third belongs to the one who ate the 3rd loaf of bread. He said, I ate the loaf of bread. That was me. Isa alayhi salam looks to him and says, kulluhum lak. All of them belong to you. Take them. Isa alayhi salam, he walks away. And you imagine, this guy is just amazing, man. What have I done in my life to deserve this? Meanwhile, 3 horsemen, they pass by. And they see gold, and they see one man guarding it. What do they do to the man? They finish him off. Subhanallah dunya, huh? They didn't even have a moment to enjoy his wealth. Subhanallah shaitan, though, he comes in and instantly starts playing about with their minds. How are you going to get hold of all 3 to yourself? So one of them leans over to his friend and he says, Ya Akhi, wouldn't it be great for us to have these last pile of gold, split it in half and have half a pile extra each? He said, you know what, that's a beautiful idea. Should we get rid of him? I think we get rid of him. They said to him, brother, what do you say if you go and get us some food? We're hungry just before we set off. He said, we'll do that. He went away to buy them some food. Shaitan, he comes to him. And he says, you know, it would be lovely to have those 3 piles of gold to myself. So what does he do? He poisons the food. Allahu Akbar. Romeo and Juliet, huh? Similar story. He comes back with the food, thinking, I've got these guys under control. They greet him with stabbings until he's dead. They sit down to eat the food. La ilaha illallah. And they're dead. Meanwhile, Isa alayhi salam, he walks back and he sees four men lying dead on the floor and three heaps of gold untouched. And he says, هَكَذَا تَفْعَلُ الدُّنْيَا بِأَهْلِهَا. This is what dunya does to its people. Wallahi, ya ikhwan, forgive me, yani, but when one of us will finally and eventually find himself lying on a plank of wood being washed with lotus leaf and warm water so that they don't hurt your dead corpse. Wallahi, ya ikhwan, even that gold tooth you may have in your mouth, that's going to be removed. And that's going to be split between your inheritors. Nothing is going to go underground with you except your hasanat and your sayyiat. Allah Ta'ala, sometimes He uses what He has given the disbelievers of blessings as a sign of the worthlessness of this dunya. I want to give you ayat now, ikhwan, and focus with me. These ayat are so profound and so magnificent, tawallahi ta'ala, they will pull your heart out if you concentrate. Allah says in Surah Az-Zukhruf,
وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ.
He says, Allahu Akbar, if it wasn't that the whole world would become a single community of disbelievers, I would have given those who disbelieve in me homes which have roofs of silver and stairs ascending into the rooms made out of silver. And then he says, وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُورًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ. And I would have given them as well doors to their homes made out of silver and thrones in their homes made out of silver. And then he says, وَزُخْرُفَا, and I would have given them adornments of gold. You know what Allah Ta'ala is saying? He's saying this dunya is so worthless in my sight, so insignificant and so unprecious, that if it wasn't for the fact that everyone would end up disbelieving in me, I would have given every disbeliever all of these things. As for the akhirah, it is only for the believers, but dunya is for the believers and disbelievers. And then Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Yet all of this, meaning those silver doors and silver roofs and silver thrones and silver beds and gold adornments, would have been nothing but the enjoyment of dunya. وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. But the hereafter with your Lord, that is solely for the people of righteousness. I ask Allah to make you and me among them. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the ocean. Before, ikhwan, we reconcile, and akhawat, before we reconcile between these seemingly and outwardly contradicting narrations, those which condemn dunya and those which aren't so critical, take from me this analogy. Sometimes Allah ta'ala uses the oceans as an example of the worthlessness of this dunya. As can be found in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Al-Mustawrid ibn Shaddad, that he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, مَا الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مِثْلُ مَا يَجْعَلُ أَحَدُكُمْ أُصْبُعَهُ فِي الْيَمْ فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ. He says, what is the world of this life in comparison with the hereafter? Except like what one of you returns from a sea after dipping his finger in the ocean and then returning. Those two drops are dunya. And that ocean, that sea is al-akhirah. Ya akhi, ya ukhti, next time you're outside in the oceans and you're looking at those never-ending or seemingly everlasting shores, do this. Pull your finger inside and then take it back out. Look at those two drops of water. Then look back into the ocean and say to yourself, really? Really? Am I still finding it difficult to choose Allah Ta'ala and the hereafter over my desires and habits? Really? You're saying that those reserves and the money of this world and its women and its men and its scenery, its mountains, its treasures, its golf courses, its skyscrapers of Japan and New York are in those two drops of water? All those tears that I shed over dunya are in those two drops of water? All those times I put aside my deen for the sake of dunya are those two drops of water? So what the heck is the ocean? The ocean is the akhirah. Tell me how many drops of water are in the ocean. I can't enumerate that. That's the akhirah. لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, for those who are righteous. How much time do we have? Good, alhamdulillah. Sometimes our messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would use food.
would use food as an example. By the way, look at the rahmah, man. Look at the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger in bringing forward the meaning to us. He could have just said to us, dunya is worthless, be careful, don't go too near it. But no, He's given us an analogy and method and example after another example so that we snap out. In the Musnad of Ahmad, on the authority of Ubay ibn Ka'b, our Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام says, إِنَّ مَطْعَمِ بْنِ آدَمَ جُعِلَ مَثَلًا لِلدُّنْيَا وَإِنْ قَزَّحَهُ وَبَلَّحَهُ فَلْيَنْظُرْ مَا يَصِيرُ. He says, the food which one of you eats, it has been made as an example to the worthlessness of dunya. He says, because it doesn't matter how much spices and salts and how fancy and exquisite the food is, but look at what the end product of the food is. La ilaha illallah. Imam al-Manawi, he says, this is a profound analogy. He says that the more you indulge in dunya in the haram, the bitterer it will be on your deathbed. The same way, the more exquisite and rich and beautiful the food is you eat, the more horrid the outcome is in the bathroom. Forgive me. But this is the reality. Ya ikhwan, subhanAllah, it is amazing. And then I return you back to the ayah which we began with. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala uses rain as an example to give you the worthlessness of dunya for me and you. He says, remember, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا. Give them an example of the worthlessness of this world. It is like rain. What about the rain, O Allah? كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ. It is like rain, which falls down onto the earth, and then it mixes with the vegetation of the earth, and then it becomes green and fresh. Listen, suddenly, listen to how Allah then surprises you with no introductions or preface. Listen. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ. Then suddenly it becomes broken to pieces, dry, which the wind scatters. That's dunya. Look at how the Qur'an, it takes you on a roller coaster of emotions. First we had crops, we had vegetation, mashallah, dunya, wealth, business, wives, husbands, it's beautiful, yeah? Suddenly, dry, broken to pieces, which the wind scatters. What happened? Where did it go? Why this change? This is the dunya. Either you leave it, or either it leaves you through death. It is one or the other. This, my brothers and sisters, very quickly, is just a snapshot of what we meant when we say narrations which condemn and belittle dunya. Tayyib. Now the question is ready to be asked and the foundations are prepared. What am I supposed to do now? I need to use dunya in some aspects. Was my time at university a waste of time? Was my house extension a bad idea? My expensive clothes, should I give them away? Am I not allowed to make a halal earning? In fact, am I not allowed to be rich? I wanted to be rich, and I wanted the Mercedes too. Is that all out of the window? That's not the correct understanding. And before I explain why, and Mufti, inshallah, you will correct me. How could this be the correct understanding when our Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, said in his dua, or would say in his dua, as can be found in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Abi Hurairah, Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi huwa ismatu amri. O Allah, amend for me the affairs of my deen, which are the backbone of my affairs. But listen to the rest of the dua. Wa aslih li dunyai allati fiha ma'ashi. And O Allah, amend for me the affairs of my dunya, in which it has my livelihood. How can this be the correct understanding when our Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, say, my brothers and sisters, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we don't want to be stingy. He said, he would say, Allahumma aghfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi ma razaqtani. He would say, oh Allah, forgive my sins, and oh Allah, expand for me my home. Expand for me my home, and bless me in that which you have provided. So how can this be the correct understanding when that is the situation? In fact, Imam Ahmad narrates on the authority of Anas that our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and this is all I have for you. This is all I have for you. I don't have a creative mind, an imaginative and exquisite thoughts. I have to you, Allah said and His Messenger said. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا قَامَتِ السَّاعَةُ. Listen carefully. إِذَا قَامَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَفِي أَحَدِكُمْ فَسِيلَةٌ فَإِنِ اسْتَطَاعَ أَنْ لَا يَقُومَ حَتَّى يَغْرِسَهَا فَلْيَفْعَلْ. If one of you, Allahu Akbar, listen my brothers and sisters, if one of you experiences the beginning of the day of judgment. Can you imagine? The horn is now being blown and Qiyamah is about to fall and the dunya is going to be wrapped up. And he says, but one of you is carrying a seed in his hand. Then before he's taken away, if he's able to plant the seed before he's taken away, let him do so. And I'm just thinking, la ilaha illallah, when is this plant going to grow? The whole universe is being rolled up now. Who's going to eat from the fruits of this plant, O Messenger of Allah? What is being said here? It's being said that you need to work. And forget the outcomes. That's not upon you. What is upon you is work and strive and innovate in the affairs of your dunya without a doubt. Work and strive. No way are these narrations in the Quran and the Sunnah which belittle the dunya inviting us to be passive and lazy. No way are they inviting us to be in an inferiority complex or ruhban, monasts which have nothing to do with dunya as if we're some sort of amputated limbs from society. Not at all. This isn't the correct understanding. So what is the correct understanding? What do we do with these narrations which you just quoted in the beginning? Demonizing dunya down to the bone. How do you expect me to work enthusiastically for my dunya knowing that Allah Ta'ala considers this dunya pathetic? I'm going to give you a sentence now from the works of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. And it's going to resolve 50% of the problem. Listen carefully. Wallahi, this is important. He says, فَالدُّنْيَا لَيْسَتْ مَذْمُومَةٌ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقُ وَلَيْسَ هُنَاكَ ذَمٌّ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا فِي السُّنَّةِ لِذَاتِ الدُّنْيَا إِطْلَاقًا. He says, there isn't an entire criticism or dunya hasn't been criticized in its entirety. Listen carefully. And then he says, and in the whole Quran and the Sunnah, there isn't any criticism leveled at anything inherently bad in dunya. Do you see what he's saying? There is nothing intrinsically and innately bad about the dunya which we live on. Meaning there is nothing bad about the moon. There's nothing bad about the soil. There's nothing bad about the women or the men. Nothing inherently bad about the moon or the sun or the night or the day. In fact, what does Allah Ta'ala say about these things? And this is what we are discussing, Brother Hassan. The moon or the night. Allah says, وَآيَةٌ وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. And a sign for them is the night. Allahu Akbar. So Allah is saying that the night is a sign which is worthy of our contemplation and gratitude. And a sign for them is the night. We withdraw from it the day and behold, they are in darkness. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Maybe it's the soil. Maybe there's something bad with the soil. Allah says about the soil, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا. And a sign for them is the dead earth. We give it life. And then we produce from it grains and then they eat from it. No, the soil has nothing wrong about it. And apply this rule to the heavens, to the earth, to the rivers, to the ponds, to the men, to the women. Nothing is inherently bad about that. In fact, by the way, how can dunya be criticized and bad in its entirety, my beloved? When you can't even get to the hereafter except through the bridge of dunya. Unless anybody has any shortcuts. I would love a shortcut. You know, put aside all this fitna and just take a back door to Jannah. La ilaha illallah. Huh? But that's not the situation. The situation is that it needs just a little bit of fahm, which I ask Allah to give me and you. An understanding which the Sahaba they had. Look at what Ali radiallahu anhu he would say about dunya. Listen to the words of the ulama. Listen to the words of the men and the women who were raised under the watchful eye of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Listen. Listen. He says, فَالدُّنْيَا دَارُ صِدْقٍ لِمَنْ صَدَقَهَا. He says, dunya is a land of sincerity to he who shows sincerity to dunya. وَدَارُ غِنًا لِمَنْ تَزَوَّدَ مِنْهَا. And it is a land of provisions and abundance for he who takes from it. وَدَارُ نَجَاتٍ لِمَنْ فَهِمَ عَنْهَا. And it is a land of safety for he who understands it. And then he explains why. فَهِيَ مَهْبِطُ وَحْيِ اللَّهِ. Dunya is where the revelation of Allah came down to. وَمُصَلَّى أَنْبِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. And it is where the messengers prayed. وَمَتْجَرُ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ And it is where the righteous, they traded. رَبِحُوا فِيهَا الرَّحْمَةِ وَاكْتَسَبُوا فِيهَا الْجَنَّةِ They earned from dunya, the mercy of Allah. And they earned from Jannah, a place in Jannah. And they earned from dunya, a place in Jannah. So tell us once and for all. What do we do with these narrations? So you are saying that we have narrations which condemn, and now we have narrations which speak positively. Now we're even more confused. And we're even more baffled. Although we understand that there's nothing inherently bad about dunya itself, but something is wrong. Something is being spoken negatively about. Listen now to the other 50% and you will have the equation solved. The ulama, they say, لَيْسَ هُنَاكَ الذَّمُّ الوارد في القرآن إنما هو منصب فقط على كل ما يرتكب في الدنيا من معصية. 2 minutes. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. He says the criticism in the dunya or the criticism in the Quran and the Sunnah, which is leveled at dunya, it is only focused on those aspects which pull you further away from your deen. It is only focused on those aspects of dunya which you then use as a means to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the criticism is where? It is in our actions. And this is a touchstone. This is a touchstone which you can now use at work, at home, with your friends, at university. Whenever you are in doubt, is this aspect of dunya the criticized aspect or is it not? Take out your touchstone and measure it. Use your education as an example. Is this education which I am studying part of the condemned dunya, or it is the praiseworthy aspect of dunya, the world? Take out the touchstone and measure it. If this aspect of dunya, if this aspect of education has taken you closer to Allah Ta'ala, and the objective is Allah, the objective is to benefit the ummah, the objective is to make a halal earning, the objective is to be independent from asking, then alhamdulillah, you have done well. This is your bridge to al-Jannah, and this is not part of the condemned dunya. However, if your education has been at the expense of your salah, if your education has been at the expense of your hijab, my sister, if your education now has been at the expense of your morality and your ethics, then ya ikhwan, know that you are engaging in that criticized and pathetic and condemned aspect of dunya. That is your touchstone. Otherwise, ya ikhwan, what else are we going to take with us to the grave? If we're not going to take this touchstone and hasanat and sayyat, what else are we going to take to the grave? The poet, he says, وَفِي قَبْضِكَ فِي الطِّفْلِ عِنْدَ مِلَادِهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى الْحِرْصِ الْمُرَكَّبِ فِي الْحَيِّ وَفِي بَسْطِهِمَا عِنْدَ الْمَمَاتِ إِشَارَةٌ أَلَا فَشْهَدُوا أَنِّي خَرَجْتُ بِلَا شَيْءٍ. He says, the child, when he exits from the womb of his mother, his hand is tightly clasped like this. This is a sign, the poet says, of the natural greed and the want in the mankind. But he says, what is strange is that when that baby later dies, his hand is like this, spread forth. This is a sign that he is saying, witness, I have left dunya with nothing. This is an analogy. Ikhwan, what did we have before dunya? Before dunya, we had an infinity. Before dunya, we had an infinity. After dunya, what will we have? Infinity, either in Jannah or the fire. And what is amazing is that between these two huge times, we have this little dot called dunya, 60, 70, 80 years. And it is in that middle ground where many people fall. Subhanallah al-Azim, isn't that amazing? So ikhwan, we say just to, and my sisters, we say just to wrap up, work, invent in the affairs of your dunya, innovate in the affairs of your dunya, excel in your education, whilst keeping your eyes fixed solely on the hereafter, whilst keeping your main concern the grave, while keeping your main concern the bridge which you shall cross, whilst keeping the main concern in these moments, which hand am I going to receive my books? That is all I have to say to you today. The poet, he says, وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَبْنَ آدَمَ بَاكِيًا وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَبْنَ آدَمَ بَاكِيًا والناس حولك يضحكون سرورا فاعمل لنفسك أن تكون إذا بكوا في يوم موتك ضاحكا مسرورا. He says, O son of Adam, you left the womb of your mother and you were crying. You were crying, but what is amazing is that the people around you, they were happy and they were smiling to see you come. So work, O son of Adam, and strive, O son of Adam, for a day when you die. And when people around you will be crying, you then will be happy and smiling. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, to make us really qualified to say these words and to also to listen to these words. It is much easier said than done. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering a shahid, a witness for us, not against us on the day of Qiyamah. I ask Allah to make us sincere and truthful in our glances, in our speech, in our actions, and to make us among those who benefit from the best of what we heard. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ